Hi and welcome to the Homeopathy Health Show. I'm Atiq Ahmed Bhatti, a fourth generation homeopath with over 25 years of professional experience and practice in this field of healing. The Homeopathy Health Show is the online voice of homeopathy around the world, promoting and raising awareness of this truly unique system of healing, which is suitable for all ages, young and old. Every week, I invite guests from the world of homeopathy to come and share their experiences, their work, offer insights, and essentially talk all things homeopathy. Why not visit www.liketreatslike.co.uk and click on the radio and podcast button to listen to the latest episodes. So let's begin today's show here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. Hi and welcome to another episode of the Homeopathy Health Show here on the UK Health Radio Network, and I'm your host, Atiq Ahmed Bhatti. So I do hope you're well, and I hope you've had a pleasant week. It's been rather delightful, and let's hope that the sun shines soon, because we've had so many months of rain, haven't we, and cold. It'd be just be nice, wouldn't it, to get into the garden and tinker about, really. But hey, enough about that. Let's proceed to today's guest, Dr. Manish Bhatia, who joins me from India. And it's going to be a truly fascinating conversation indeed. My guest on today's episode is Dr. Manish Bhatia from India. He is certified in classical homeopathy from the International Academy of Classical Homeopathy in Greece. He also has an MSc from the University of Lancashire in the United Kingdom. And in India, he is an MD in homeopathy, specifically related to pediatrics. Now, for those of you who may not be aware, he is the founder of HPathy, which is the world's leading homeopathic portal, and he's also the editor for Homeopathy for Everyone. So with that, Dr. Manish Bhatia, welcome to the Homeopathy Health Show.
Thank you, Atiq. Thank you for having me here.
I have so much to ask you, but I wanted to start with HPathy because it's, well, I use HPathy all the time. I think it's an absolutely incredible resource as far as information on all things homeopathy, from articles to cases to remedy signatures. I mean, the list just goes on and on. And for the listeners, to get you really excited about this, the website actually has over 50,000 registered users and 65,000 plus subscribers to the eZine. And I was told, as far as the hits are concerned, it's over 500,000 a month. Now, yes, that is absolutely incredible. And it's also testament, actually, to the information that's available, because it is so useful.
When I started HPathy, the very, very beginning was that I created it as my personal website, and I wanted to put as much information about homeopathy as possible out there. Because back in late 1990s and early 2020s, early 2000, there were hardly any websites. There were just two or three websites in homeopathy. The most popular one was Discussion Forum. And there were two more websites, and none of them was very comprehensive. So when I was doing my graduation in homeopathy, I saw there was so much literature in homeopathy available, but there was hardly any available online. So I decided to put that information online. And as I started doing it, I realized that as a one person, as an individual, it's just not possible for me to put all that information online by myself. Now, I'm a software engineer also. I did my graduation in computer applications before I completed my graduation in homeopathy. And the late 90s and early 2000s were the periods of what we call open source software. There was Linux, which was challenging Microsoft's dominance, especially on the server side. And then we had something called ODP, Open Directory Project, which was a volunteer-curated directory of internet. And I was also an editor for of that. It was similar to Wikipedia, but Wikipedia is for the content. ODB was for the listing of the internet, all the websites. So I had seen the power, as a software engineer, I had seen the power of Linux, I had seen the power of ODB, I had seen the power of many other open source projects. And I really knew that if the community can come together, then the project can go to absolutely another level. So the only thing that I needed to do was to put my ego aside, that this is my project. I said that this project belongs to the community. It's not my project anymore. And I invited some of the friends that I was talking with. We created a small team and we started building HPD together. Somewhere in 2003, I started HPD in 2001. We started working collectively in 2003, I believe. And somewhere in 2003, the team decided that we needed to produce a newsletter. And together we started producing a newsletter, but we soon realized that what we are producing was much more than a newsletter. Ended up creating the first electronic journal of homeopathy. And strange it might sound, it was the first medical journal which was online. It was not just a journal on homeopathy or alternative medicine. There was, to the best of my knowledge, there was no other medical journal being published online at that point of time. So brought everybody on HPD, because HPD became open to the volunteer work. HPD became a teamwork. So everybody was willing to contribute. So when we started doing this journal, we brought all these schools together. We brought all these people together, from Vithulkos to Sankran to Germisher to Scholten to Paya Huber, to David Little, Luke De Schipper, Peter Chappell, you name all the stalwarts of that era, and people who are still stalwarts, everybody. Simply because there was no one person, there was no hidden agenda behind what we were doing. We just wanted to promote good homeopathy. And people could see through our intentions. They were able to see that we really meant what we were saying. And they could see the diversity in our team. People were free to join. People were free to contribute. People were free to give their suggestions, not about just the content, but also about the design and the functioning. And so it became a very, very democratic project, a community project, and that's why it skyrocketed. I think within the next 3-4 years, 2-3 years, we were one of the biggest medical sites in the world. During our heydays, we were among the top 100 medical sites in the world, not alternative medical websites, but in general, medical websites, top 100 medical websites in the world. So we did pretty well. And the good thing has been that we have been able to maintain that core team. A lot of people who started working with me 20 years back, they are still part of the team. And a lot of people who were contributing 20 years back, they are still contributing to HPathy. And it has continued to grow as a community project. I don't even call it my baby, because everybody has contributed to it.
That's such a nice story indeed, and it's also so nice that, you know, the team that started are still with you, and you know, that's a journey in itself, isn't it? It's so nice to see that growth.
So in December this year, we'll be publishing, we'll be completing 20 years of the electronic journal that we started way back in 2004, and this would be our 240th issue in December. Every month, no breaks. It has been published every month. Every month we have published an interview. Every month we have published lots of clinical cases, a lot of articles, a lot of discussions, quizzes, clinical cases. Agro-homeopathy came in at some point of time. Veterinary homeopathy came in at some point of time. And today, HPathy is not just a resource for homeopathy. It is one of the biggest, rather one of the only resources online for agro-homeopathy. So HPathy has made agro-homeopathy very, very popular, and we are trying to take even veterinary homeopathy to the masses. So it has been an amazing journey. It has been very, very satisfying to me as a person. It gives me the feeling that what we started has actually been of help to the community. And it's satisfying.
I think, you know, what HPATHY stands for is so, so important. And that is that, you know, like I was saying to you just at the beginning of this recording, actually, it's like a one-stop online portal. So even myself, as an example, if I need to read up on something or I need to do some research, that's the first place I will go to. And I will have a look and there's always something that I find, which is useful and helpful. So, you know, that goes a long way, and that's just one person. But the, you know, 500,000 hits on the site every month is just incredible.
Yeah, and a lot of these are patients who are looking for some treatment for their health conditions, looking for exploring homeopathy, looking to learn about homeopathy. So it's not just catering to the professionals; it's also catering to the lay people. And then a couple of years ago, we also started another project. It's a branch of HPATHY called homeopathybooks.in, where we published lots of historical books and journals, more than 20,000 pages of content was published there. So all the historical books and all the historical journals that are copyright-free, we made them available online in a searchable format. For free, absolutely free. So if you are looking for something modern, contemporary, you go to hpathy.com. And if you want to do research on our historical literature, if you want, then homeopathybooks.in is the site to go.
With all these subscribers and the hits on the website, tell me a bit about the management, because, you know, I was just thinking, as you were saying, the fact that it's been going since 2001 now. And the amount of information on there, I mean, we're talking, what, hundreds of thousands of pages, aren't we? Literally.
Yes, true.
And that's a wealth of knowledge. And actually, it's also living knowledge, isn't it? Because it's current all the time. So you're actually, you know, upping the information and the knowledge. And as new, like you mentioned, agrohomeopathy and agri-homeopathy as well, you know, the way that has now come onto within the umbrella of homeopathy. And it's being, I've spoken to so many homeopaths like Camilla Scher, Pat Ahern in Ireland, and also Tracy Simpson in New Zealand. And they're not just using homeopathy on their dairy cows, you know, from a veterinary point of view, but they're actually using it now for crops and on their grass.
Yes.
And it's just, and the results are amazing. Camilla has been, she was on recently and she was sharing some of the stories, and it's incredible what agri-homeopathy is doing.
Yes, it's going to create a very, very different market for homeopathy. Because in India, just a couple of days ago, I was talking to an agri-homeopath, and he was telling me that there's keen interest from many pharmaceutical companies also in bringing out homeopathic products for the plants. So it's going to be a very, very big market very soon.
You're absolutely right, Manish. I think it's going to be really, really big. And what's really fascinating about that is the fact that it was already there. As far as, it's not a discovery, it's the fact that somebody along the line has said, well, hang on, it works on humans, it works on animals, it works on so many other areas, you know. So let's try and see if it works on plants. You know, does it work on the soil? And of course it does. Amazing.
Yes, it does. Kaviraj's work was pioneering. Kaviraj was one of the first agri-homeopaths in the world, and he was the one who started the column MedHPATHY. And then we had Mark Modi, then we had Pavan Sachdeva, and now we have Ratko, who is taking care of this section. And there are more people who are coming up now.
Now, I wanted to ask you, you are very well known in India and other parts of the world, actually, for being a teacher, a lecturer. And you have done a number of, or should I say, a very large number of seminars and webinars on homeopathy and health. And that, of course, like I've said, is international as well as just, you know, within India itself. But You have got this series now because you are the author of some books, which are lectures on Organon of Medicine. So do tell how that's going and what, share your insights, really, is what I'm asking, is what made you go into this particular area as far as the Organon? And you know, are you, is there one of the reasons that sometimes it can be quite difficult to understand and you're bringing it, you know, into modern times?
So I think what happened was that, as I already told you, that I became a software engineer before I became a homeopath. And the reason I became a homeopath was because I read the Organon first and I fell in love with this philosophy. So for me, fortunately, the problem with Organon is because the language is very, very old. It's written in Shakespeare in English, very long passages, very difficult to read. There are no breaks in the paragraphs. A lot of the words are very difficult to understand, especially for non-native speakers. For somebody from India or from Pakistan or any other Asian country. Fortunately, I was lucky in that aspect because my mother was a teacher of English. My sister was a professor of English, and I was brought up in that environment. I'd read a lot of English literature even during my school days and early college days. So for me, the language was not an issue. So the day I started reading it, I really could actually get to the gist of it, to the essence of it. And I really fell in love with the whole idea of homeopathy, the philosophy, to the, how you understand what is disease, what is cure, what is palliation, what is suppression, what it means to be a doctor, how the body works, what are the principles and how it can be tested, how remedies are supposed to be healing agents. So that love for the Organon brought me into homeopathy, made me complete my degree in homeopathy rather than go into software engineering. And so when I graduated, I really wanted to teach it because Organon is a teacher, is as a subject, nobody used to read. Hmm. People used to read it through passbooks rather than the original book. And the whole idea of reading Organon was to clear the exams. Nobody was reading it. Nobody was practicing according to it. And because I came into homeopathy because of my love for Organon, the only thing I wanted to do was make sure that I practice according to the principles of Organon and make sure that I teach Organon. So 2001 was a very, very momentous year for me. In 2001, I started practicing. In 2001, I started teaching. I joined the college as a lecturer. And in 2001, I started HPathy.
Wow, a trilogy.
Yeah, a trilogy. All three happened in 2001. So then I was teaching continuously. I've been teaching continuously since last 22 years. And what you see in my books are the notes that I used to write to teach in my college. And I wanted to publish them at some point of time. But, you know, there's I always wanted to verify every word of that book before I actually wrote the book, published that book. And somehow when you're doing homeopathy, you never get the confidence that you know everything. There's always so much to know, so much to experience, especially if you want to test all the principles, if you want to live all the aphorisms, if you want to live every sentence that Hahnemann has written. It takes a lifetime, it takes an eternity. So I was really not getting the confidence to publish that book. But then my dad always wanted to see a book authored by me because I used to get books from everybody for review at HPathy. And my dad used to ask me, when will I see a book with your name? And I used to tell him that I'm not ready. I'm not ready yet. Unfortunately, my dad was diagnosed with terminal cancer in 2013. And when we got the diagnosis, I knew that I have to write that book. I need to publish this book for him.
Hmm.
So I had the material ready. I just compiled it. And in the next couple of months, I published it. I never realized that it would become such a big hit. I sent it to Professor Vitulkas for writing the foreword, and he very, very generously agreed. I had no idea that he would agree. And it was only after the book got published that Dana Ullman wrote to me that, Manish, do you know that yours is the only second only book that Vitulkas has ever written foreword to.
Wow, that's a big honor, eh?
Yeah, the first book that he, I was told that the only book he has written a foreword to so far was a book by Bill Gray, whom he treated as a son. And the second one was mine. So I was pretty, pretty floored, and especially what he wrote in the foreword, that according to him, these were the best lectures on homeopathy ever written. So I was like, wow.
Congratulations.
Yeah, so the book got published, and then it got approved by itself in Indian syllabus for BHMS as well as MD syllabus. It got translated in German. It got translated in Bulgarian. It pretty much became a standard teaching text throughout the world. And it has just happened. It just happened. I never intended it to be that way. But people liked what I wrote. People could see that the work was pure. It was not just copy-based work. It was original work. Because what I did was, along with my German friends, couple of German friends, we actually revisited the whole organon. One aphorism at a time. We corrected the aphorisms. We corrected all the mistakes. We simplified the language. Then I elaborated them. I explained all those aphorisms with modern science, contemporary examples, modern case examples. So it's very easy to understand, very easy to read. The language is very easy to read. It's very easy to understand. And then it is very contemporary also. You get to understand organ with the modern day examples, be it clinical cases or be it general examples related to science and philosophy. So yeah, and then I wrote a couple of years later, I wrote the second volume, then I wrote the third volume, and then the book got completed, the series got completed. And yes, that's it about my journey about writing this book. And I've been teaching organon since, as I told you, since 2001. I've been teaching in my college. I've been teaching online. I've been teaching in different seminars. I've been very, very fortunate to teach at some of the most pioneering institutes in the world. I've taught at Vitulkas International Academy of Classical Homeopathy. I've taught at Sankaran's Other Song Academy. I've taught at the National Institute of Homeopathy in Kolkata. So, yeah, it has been an absolute blissful journey to share my own experiences and my knowledge related to organ. This subject is I'm most passionate about.
I can tell. I can certainly tell. And I think it's, you know, firstly, of course, it's, again, congratulations, because I think it's something so needed, because I know that there's a great interest, as you know, in homeopathy around the world now, especially with the younger generation. And homeopathy is becoming very accessible, even through example of these podcasts where homeopaths are coming on. And there are many, many podcasts, as we know, around the world, all amazing. And homeopaths are able to share their insights and experiences. And what it's doing is it's bringing homeopathy very much into current times. And there's so much discussion about it, and it's so open. So generally, when we look at the key homeopathic literature, it is always, you know, in the early years of homeopathy that such literature was available. And the organon is, for want of a better word, not easy to read. It is difficult. And I think it's really, really important and what you've done, because it will be applicable to certainly to ourselves, of course, but the young generation or the next generation, let's say, who are interested, who can then actually, of course, you can have the original book side by side, but it's so important to be able to then understand it in modern times, in modern language that we all understand.
True. Absolutely.
You are doing seminars and lectures on this as well, aren't you? And I know that on your Instagram, which is Master Homeopathy, there are a number of snippets of certain lectures and seminars that you do. So are you planning to do any Europe-wide as far as, you know, this side of the world is concerned?
I'll be happy to. The last seminar I did I went to Romania, but before the lockdown. But after that, I've not had been able to travel to Europe again post COVID. Yeah, but I would be happy to, more than willing to teach anywhere in the world. I really love to teach.
I can see your passion for it. And I must say, because I do follow you on your socials, so I do know what you're up to. And it's an extremely busy schedule, actually. I don't think any week goes by, does it, where you're not actually teaching?
No. So what was happening was that you teach at the college every week, and then you are teaching at seminars or webinars once in a couple of months. And then last year, or rather this year itself, we started this online social media handles with the name Master Homeopathy, because we wanted to teach. Because what has happened is that the consumption method of consumption has changed. When we started Homeopathy, it was all text and discussion forums. Then discussion forums were replaced by Facebook. And then Facebook was replaced by Instagram, and Instagram was replaced by YouTube. And now most of the data is consumed in video format. And then even the large content format of YouTube was replaced by the short content form of Instagram and TikTok. So what we have experienced is that the attention span of the younger generation is much shorter. And so to reach out to that generation, to this generation, to teach them, it's important that we do not just give them large volume of text or large videos, long videos, but we also keep them engaged and give them short snippets. Every day you teach them something, and it's easier for me also, because what I'm doing is I teach what every day you learn something in your practice. There is a new patient, there is a new rubric, there is some materia medica that you learn, and something comparative comes up, something therapeutic comes up. So that is how I started. I started teaching something from my practice every day, and then we started a series called Aaj Ka Gyan, which translates to today's knowledge. So whatever knowledge I gain today, I share it with my audience. And then people started asking questions. The students started asking questions. So now I also incorporate answers to those questions. Any query anybody can ask related to organon, to materia medica, to repertory, to therapeutics, whatever problem somebody's facing, I try to answer them through that series. So yes, that is another opportunity for me to teach homeopathy and to reach out to a larger audience and keep it engaging.
I think it's brilliant, because I, of course, as you know, I do see those on your socials, and I think it's really important. And you know, you mentioned about memories and attention generally of the next generation, but we are also now part of that, aren't we? Because I also find that I prefer snippets or bite-sized information, which I can digest.
Absolutely.
Or should I say I can absorb and digest, you know, whichever way around that is. And it actually does work, though. It's not a bad thing, because it does actually enable you to think a bit more and reflect a bit more, rather than read pages of pages and then try to remember everything, which, as you know, is not possible anyhow.
True.
And again, congratulations. This is the second time now, by the way. If there's a third, then you've got a trilogy in the show as well, okay? But congratulations on that. I think it's really, really good, and please do keep going with that.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, Manish, I wanted to ask you something, which is to do with the different types of teaching and knowledge that's available in homeopathy. I often get asked this question as well. Somebody says, I'm interested in homeopathy, and even though I've registered at a school or a college, I'm very confused. Which method do I actually study? I can't get to grips with all the different styles and methods of homeopathy, medical homeopathy, and maybe the periodic table, or maybe some other method. You know, this is a vast variety of detox method. And what would you say? What's your sort of input on this and your guidance? What's the best way for students, especially, to focus or to be able to almost understand that, look, you know, this is how we should be adopting this?
I think I'll share you from a very first-hand experience, because I am a person who has literally read all these different approaches. I've been able to learn from most of these masters myself. And I've gone through that confusion. Like, you are not getting results in your practice, then you move to one guru and then to another guru and then to another guru, and that search is unending. It remained unending till I was able to figure out that till your roots are very strong, you cannot build a very strong tree for yourself. And what are the roots? The roots are the core organ, the repertory, the materia medica, the therapeutic, the basic knowledge of classical homeopathy has to be there for before you learn any specific school of thought. All schools work, but they are all based on the basic information of homeopathy. Now, what I suggest is, why I'm telling you this, that if you do not understand the symptoms of belladonna and hyoscyamus and stramonium, and you go and start learning the sensation method, and now you want to study the features of the Solanaceae family, that's a very, very wrong approach to do. You do not even know the keynotes of belladonna, and you want to understand what's common in Solanaceae family. How are you supposed to even learn that? You have to learn the keynotes of belladonna and hyoscyamus and stramonium and a couple of other drugs in the Solanaceae family before you could see the commonality. You cannot come top down. You have to see from where that data has been derived. You want to understand a particular remedy. Suppose you want to learn aurum sulf by Scholten's method. Now, aurum sulfuricum is not proved, not even proved now. Aurum sulfuratum has probably three symptoms. But if you want to understand the gist of aurum sulfuricum, even according to Scholten's method, then you need to know your aurum metallicum. You need to know your sulfur well. Only then you will be able to understand that as a concept. Because these are derivative concepts. Suppose you have a different method of case taking. For example, you are using Segal's method. Now, Segal's method is based on mind. Understanding the mind rubrics. In Segal's method, they don't use the physical symptoms at all. They just use the mind rubrics. And most of these mind rubrics are based on converting the patient's language, normal conversational language, into repertorial rubrics in a more artistic way. You want to use that, but you do not understand. You have never gone through the mind chapter of the Kent's repertory or any modern repertory for that method, and you want to learn that particular method, you are going to fail. So what I always tell my students is that all these approaches work. Sankran's approach works, Scholten's approach works, Segal's approach works, Vithulkas's approach work, a lot of other protocols work, but none of them will work in all the cases. None of them. I have sat with most of these people and many, many, many other stalwarts. And what I have seen them is that rather than sticking to their own way or approach, they are using a lot of knowledge derived from other sources also. It's not like I've been fortunate to be very, very close to Dr. Sankran. And I know from his practice that it's not that he'll go after the sensation of the patient or the core delusion of the patient in every case. A lot of his prescriptions are based on the basic understanding of the medicines, the calcareas, the sepia, the natrums, the magnesiums. So whatever he is doing, the work is based on the very, very solid foundation of materia medica and repertory. Now, if you do... Sankran is able to do it, what he is able to do it, because he has a very, very solid foundation of materia medica and repertory. He has been the teacher of repertory. His father was a teacher of repertory, one of the most renowned teachers of repertory in India, rather world. And he himself has been the faculty of repertory in CMP College for all these years. And he has an absolutely amazing knowledge of Materia Medica also. So what he is doing is actually based on that solid foundation. Now, you don't want to have that solid foundation and you want to practice sensation method or Segal's method or Scholten's method or Vitulkas's method or Banerjee's protocols. You are bound to fail with any of them. You pick any of them, you are bound to fail.
Hmm.
You want success? You first make sure that your foundation is rock solid. Once you have that foundation, then you can be more artistic and then you can be more selective. If your patient is taking you to the core delusion, take him to the core delusion. If your patient is taking you to the sensation of that case, go to the sensation level. If your patient is at the fact level, they are just giving you the basic information, or you, then you should have the ability to prescribe on that also, keynotes also. If your patient is giving you mental symptoms, which you can understand better with Segal's approach, you should be able to use that. If you are, you should have the solid foundation to use different repertorial approaches, be it of Kent or be it of Bogor-Bonegason, where you use the generals first or whether you use the mentals first. That kind of solid foundation is required before you become successful in any of these approaches. And I personally feel that these approaches are not standalone approaches. They are just mere tools to find the simulimum. And the more tools you have in your toolkit, the better. Because no single approach will cure all the cases. These are all different variations, just different variations of reaching the simulimum. Different, slightly different understanding, slightly different analysis, like what I tell my students. There is an elephant. You know the story of an elephant and five blind men. So somebody, one is holding the trunk and trying to identify the elephant. One is holding the ear and trying to identify the elephant. One is holding the tail and is trying to identify the elephant. Another is holding the leg and trying to identify the elephant. Somebody is rubbing the trunk and trying to identify the elephant, or somebody is holding the tusk and trying to identify the elephant. The problem is that all these people are able to see a part of the elephant. Now, you might be able to identify the elephant by its trunk or by its tail, but the elephant is always in the hole. So an approach might be able to, an approach is just like identifying it from a particular angle. But that doesn't mean that that angle is the only angle available. You can identify the same elephant from different angles. And if you are really, really good at homeopathy, if your basics are strong, then you will be able to see the whole elephant. I can solve the same case with Kenshin approach, with Bogor-Bonegason approach, with sensation method, with Segal's method, and can bring the same remedy. It's not necessary that you have four different approaches and you will come to four different remedies. No, that's not right, because you only have one simulimum. You can have a slight variation sometimes, but ultimately the simulimum is one.
Beautifully said, actually, and very beautifully put. And I think that will alleviate a lot of the anxieties, perhaps, that some of the younger homeopaths may have, because these questions are asked. And I think you've really done justice to that and explained it very, very well. I think this is actually the approach, and it is actually how I also explain to people that, look, you need to know the basics. It's like anything, isn't it? It's like driving a car, as an example. If you don't know where the accelerator is, or the gear stick, or the indicators, or the mirrors, how can you possibly say, I want to reach that destination, and off you go? It's not going
Absolutely.
To happen, you know? And it's not... The beauty of homeopathy is that as you practice, you know, keynotes and all this information, there's nothing for anyone to worry about, because they become second nature, just like driving a car. You do
yes.
automatically.
True, absolutely. And again, if you have to study quantum physics, you still need to study the Newtonian physics before that.
That's a good, great advice from Dr. Manish Bhatia. Now, I wanted to ask you, in closing, what are you up to for the next several months? Anything planned as such, anything? So I can really, I'm asking you, so I can give you a congratulations. So we can make it three.
Yeah. So what we have been doing recently is that I started an online academy called Masters Homeopathy, Dr. Bhatia's Master Homeopathy Academy. And what I did with HPathy 20 years back, now I'm trying to replicate that model by making short courses available, a lot of free courses available, and some paid courses available. But the paid courses also are very, very reasonably priced. With HPathy, I have always believed that knowledge should be free as much as possible. And that is why HPathy has always remained absolutely free. The content has remained free without license, without any login. And I want to do the same thing with in a video format. So this is what we are doing. We have created an online academy where people can register. There are lots of free courses that we are making available. You want to learn basics of homeopathy, you will have a free course. You will have a lot of basic courses on materia medica, on therapeutics. A lot of stuff would be free. Some would be the paid courses, because here a lot of money goes into producing the video content, in editing, in marketing. So yes, but again, they are very normally charged. For example, we had just released a course on case-taking, where we are bringing together six master teachers who will teach case-taking from six different approaches. One would be teaching sensation method, one would be teaching the Sagal's approach or the HHF method, one would be teaching classical homeopathy, one would be teaching therapeutic homeopathy, one would be teaching pediatric homeopathy, one would be teaching the ICR approach to case-taking. So all these teachers will come together, and then it'll create a bouquet. You'll be able to see how each of them takes cases, what is their commonality, how you can yourself approach different cases. And so this whole course of 2 month duration is available for around $140. And we have to pay these speakers. We have to pay the platform fees. We have to pay the online transaction fees. So, or even despite all that, we keep it very, very normally charged so that people can learn. And that is the whole idea. So the whole idea, the next year I would be working would be more and more courses, more free content, more beautiful courses, courses that can take homeopathy to masses. And again, we are democratizing this platform by allowing people to post their own courses. You want to produce your own courses? We are going to help you. Because what is happening is that a lot of good teachers, they don't have the technical knowledge to actually run their own courses. They don't want to know, they don't know how to accept money for their courses. They don't know where to market their courses. They don't know how to record video lectures, how to do all the accounting and billing. They are afraid of all that work that goes into running online courses. So we are bringing the platform to everyone. We'll do all the hard work for you. You just teach. So the next step is that let's bring all the good teachers of homeopathy online as a central university.
That deserves a third congratulations for launching it.
Thank you.
See, we achieved the trilogy. I'm thrilled at that. But that sounds fascinating, and I do sincerely wish you the best of luck. And if it's anything to go by, if it's just as popular as HPathy, I think it's just going to be amazing, you know? And I don't see why it shouldn't be either.
I believe that we should just do our best and leave the rest to him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Manish, it's been a sheer delight having you on the Homeopathy Health Show. Thank you so very much.
I think it has been my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
I do hope you've enjoyed this week's episode of the Homeopathy Health Show. Please do support the show by clicking follow on my socials. Remember, the more exposure the podcast receives, the better for homeopathy around the world. You can find me on Instagram by searching for @like_treatslike, and on both Facebook and TikTok by searching for @like_treatslike. So let's promote the voice of homeopathy on radio and podcast around the world together. Don't forget to visit me online at www.liketreatslike.co.uk and click on the radio and podcast tab.
Here you'll be able to see all the guests that have joined me on the show so far. And of course, you can stream on demand the latest episode to your mobile, tablet or PC. Until next time, stay safe and take care.